That seems higher than what she reported to me, but maybe I'll
well, she only got 2/3 of it. So when you work it forward, mm-hmm. it'll be a total of, I think it's 638,000.
Okay, I'll have to double check. I thought she told me only 70 some thousand of it was remaining for next year's budget. I have an email from her. Anyway, we don't have
yeah, to. Okay.
But yeah, we should compare notes on that. Kathy.
Yeah.
So going into charges for services, we expect the same amount of money for jail rent revenue, court revenue. I took a 3-year running average on the cemetery for services and plot sales. 911 should be the same. I decreased planning and zoning permit revenue just because I'd rather be under than over, even though it's a nominal amount of money to begin with. Our tideland lease revenue stays roughly about the same each year. I'm trying to get a handle on our property lease revenue. That's something I'm having difficulty. I don't understand why we budgeted $15,600 for it, but there's been no revenue mm-hmm. in the last 3 years, so I'm trying to understand that, which is why you see zero for next year. Surplus and material sales, again, that's an old budget item. Public works revenue, an old budget line item as well. Those things will drop off here.
Just on surplus and material sales, this is the assembly's asked several times about moving stuff along, that we have dump trucks and things like that.
Yeah, okay, I'll get a report to you
yeah,
on that.
And I would recommend possibly looking at trying to cut a deal with someone that they get a percentage of the overall and they manage your, because you're so short on staff,
well,
I appreciate it.
Actually, Kim is handling all of that right now on that new online program.
Right, and I'm just saying if she can't get to it, to try to find someone who's willing to get it done, because we really should get this stuff, because it's management, right? It's these are assets that depreciate, you know, a dump truck depreciates each year or whatever it is, but let's just get rid of this stuff.
Got it.
Get it into the bank.
I think we can handle that. Okay. So fines and forfeitures, 2019 was a big year. I'm not sure why 2020 was not a good year for fines and forfeitures. This year is a little bit higher, nowhere near what we anticipated for our budget, so I dropped that for next year.
Could I please ask that we get a report on the forfeitures? Because I'd like to understand how we're utilizing that program.
I can't even tell you that there are. That's the line item name that's been there for ages, but yes.
Fines is fine. I get fines. I just want to understand the forfeitures, because that is something that can get out of control fairly quickly.
Probably should go along with bad debts,
or
receivable,
or things that are impounded because they've been, which they're still sitting there.
Just be nice to understand how that's going.
If we jump down to DMV services here, you can see, again, 2019 was a big year. 2020, obviously not. We ended up with COVID for a portion of the fiscal year, so stuff dropped off because we ended up, you know, closing for a while. Things were abysmal in FY21 because of COVID, and we budgeted, a relatively similar amount because we didn't realize things were going to be so bad and DMV was going to go to online, and you know, our staff person wasn't able to get the training that she needed because of COVID to do everything. So we're hopeful we're going to see a significant increase, but I've still kept that revenue line item at about $50,000. We're at 31 and change right now, so I'm hopeful we'll hit the 50 mark next year and maybe even more than that with life returning to normal. Dog licenses, very nominal amount. And reimbursement of prisoner costs, I threw that on there because there was an old 2020 charge for reimbursement there. But that's if we have to do something with a prisoner that the state reimburses us for. Specifically, that's what that line item is.
Just out of curiosity, how did you come up with 396? Because it's a round number to purchase a dog tag.
It's what's in this. I'm sorry.
No problem. Just curious.
Uh, here's something that's very interesting, and I, again, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. We have interest income here in the general fund. We have interest income listed in all of our enterprise funds, and there isn't anything being charged out. We're not putting the revenue from interest income into those accounts. I'm not sure why that's not happening. The money is coming in. I mean, we're getting the interest. It's just not being allocated to the accurate account, and I don't know why.
Where's it being allocated to, and is it a universal account?
It's not. I can't answer that question for you.
So on investments, typically it will roll over and further investment will be made from the income that you generate. But that's very concerning that we don't know where that money's going.
Well, here's the issue with the interest income. The income we're getting that income, it's in the bank, it's just not being put in the system. There isn't any inappropriate money coming out of the bank account. It's just not being reflected in the appropriate revenue account, or it's not being reflected in the revenue account at all.
So it's being compounded in a separate account, the bank account.
It's in the bank account. It's not being reflected in the accounting system.
Okay.
And that is an issue. So that's something I've got to get to the bottom of and figure out why. I think it's very similar to, it's one of those things that has to be manually input into the system, which is why I said, like, the fees from the taxes that have been collected from the Marine Service Center and the Port and Harbor stuff, we've collected that money. It's in our bank account. We have all the cash receipts for that information. We have the backup in the harbor accounting system. It just hasn't been put in the correct accounting for it in our main accounting software, and that's a breakdown that has to be fixed. That's a whole scale issue. So
I have a question on that. Is this in the bank account? It's earning a minuscule amount of interest. If it's put into the correct account as a something for depreciation or something for replacement or as a cushion. See, one of my concerns is that we've got money that's not being invested correctly. So I'm just curious.
Two separate things here. You're not incorrect in what you're saying. So let's say any revenue we're generating on our general fund, our main bank account that we operate mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. any revenue or any interest being earned there is just staying in that account. And I don't know what we're earning on whatever's there, 1%, maybe not even that amount, 0.5%. So you are correct in that our interest earnings off of our bank accounts are not earning anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where it goes in the accounting function doesn't portend whether or not it's earning revenue in real life in a bank account.
Okay, I understand.
You know, there is that system where they take it out overnight and then put it back in. They invest it. And I forget what that's called, but the banks do that.
Oh, to earn themselves money.
Yeah, but I think you can buy in on it. I mean, it might be something to ask them about, because if you've got that chunk of money, and I forget what that's called, but if you have a substantial amount of money.
It's called tricky. I did that.
But I mean, it does up your gain.
Yes, it does.
My concern with this issue, and we've got a few minutes left, but my concern, Lisa, is that so if Steve's got an account going for his travel lift machine, and we've got and it's earning income. It's not that income is not compounding within that account. So, but that's that fund's money, right? And some of these funds are millions of dollars. And so if that's going into the general account and standing in the general account, is it being expended as general account funds, or is it earmarked specifically back to the other account?
So, how do I explain this? The management of the funds themselves, and by funds I mean where we place things, the harbor fund, the port fund, mm-hmm. the sewer fund, those things, is a matter of doing stuff on paper or electronically. However, and all of that, I shouldn't say all of it, most of our money that is coming in and is being, that we're generating in terms of revenue on a day-to-day basis, is going into one account. And that is something that actually Joyce wanted to try to start dealing with. This community also has taken money that was in a specific fund and put that amount of money that was allocated in that fund in a bank account. And I am going to give you in like a separate bank account. And so this is a very small example of that. The Myers-Chuck money that we have is in its own bank account. Not only is it allocated for separately in our budget, it's also in its own bank account. I've got to cut it off there.
I'm just for management of time. Can we, if the assembly's in agreement, I would like a list of all these accounts, and I would like to see what money correlates back to where, and if, you know, ultimately this assembly is responsible for all the fiscal wranglings, and that was. Slightly baffling to me. So if we could get some paper on it, and I know you're really busy right now after budget, but we just need to have some follow-up.
And Mr. Mayor, that is one of the things that I am going to be getting help to do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Thank you. All right. I'm going to stop it there. Thanks to all of the department heads that came up tonight to listen to us on revenues. I appreciate it very much. It is 7 p.m. Lisa, are you ready?
I'm sorry, yes, Mr.
Okay. Kim, you ready? Excellent. Good evening, everyone. This is a regular assembly meeting for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. It is 7 p.m. Kim, would you please... Oh, sorry. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assembly Member Ann Morrison.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ceremonial matters, there are none tonight. Kim, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Assembly members Corson?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
Ryan Howe?
Here.
David Powell?
Here.
And Mayor
Plum? Here. Item 3, persons to be heard, section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in booing or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name-calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting the meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by the majority vote of the assembly. Tonight, one person signed up, Mr. McConaughey, who would like to do an invocation for us. Thank you, Don.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the people who are willing to take time out of their personal lives to represent our city and to do the business of our city. We thank them for their due diligence and for the leadership that they provide for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Don. All right. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda tonight? Looks like we're clear there, Kim. Item 5, conflict of interest.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Assemblymember Powell.
I want a conflict on new business, item F, resolution 06-21-1591.
Okay, what's your conflict?
I managed the bay company that was awarded to.
Okay, and I do believe that is a conflict because it has a direct financial bearing. So unless the assembly wants to disagree with me, I will allow you to recuse yourself during that item. Thank you for declaring that. Assemblymember Corson.
Yes, sir. I have one possible. I'm not sure if it's a conflict or not on there. Subsection 13H, the approval of health insurance renewal. I'm not sure if there's a conflict in there, but I just like to present it because of the benefit to my spouse who works for the city. And then under subsection 15A, executive session, the collective bargaining update. I'd probably be bowing out of that.
Okay, thank you. Assemblymember Corson, I don't believe you have a conflict in the first item because that is not specific to your wife, and this is working on a general recommendation. So I believe you don't have a conflict unless the assembly disagrees with me. You please stay present during that time. The other item, I will accept your conflict and we'll have you recuse yourself unless the assembly would like to rule otherwise on that. Thank you. Any other conflicts? Okay. Hearing none, we're moving on to item 6, consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
It's been moved. We have a second.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Morrison. Moved by Gilbert. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Yes.
Dalrymple? Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. And that moves us on to item 7, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first thing I'd like to do this evening is invite the members of the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau and Carol Rushmore, Economic Development. Oh, she's shaking her head. Just the members of the Visitors Bureau to make a presentation on the new destination brand. This is exciting.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you, Borough Manager and Mayor Persaud and Assembly Members. My name is Brooke Leslie. I'm a committee member on the CVB committee. We have with us this evening Brenda Schwartz-Jaeger, Chris, is your last name Eunice? Eunice, and Carol Rushmore. And then Cindy also collaborated with us on this project as well. And we're here to give you a short presentation on the Wrangell Visitor Destination brand. This is the project that we took up with the CARES Act funding. In 2019, pre-COVID, there was a post-season meeting held with some city officials and stakeholders in the tour industry. And some of the questions that were brought up and identified at that time was, what kind of travel destination does Wrangell want to be? Who are we? What kind of visitors do we want to attract? And some concerns were expressed that we didn't want to have other companies or potentially large conglomerate companies come in and tell us who we are and have to respond to that. But we wanted to be proactive and define Wrangell as a travel destination that we envision as a community. The CVB and city put out some different bids, and we decided to go with a company called Spawn Ideas. They're an Alaskan-based company. They've done some great work. They also did some of the branding for ATIA and the Alaska Railroad. Slide. And so we're just going to jump right into this presentation. We want to start with, what is a brand? And a brand is a promise of an experience. It's what people say when you are not in a room. It is not just the logo. It encompasses far more than that. What we want to do is we want to address and identify our target audience, and we want our brand to speak to something that's true to Wrangell and motivates the audience and sets us separate and distinct from the other destinations in Alaska and in Southeast Alaska. The process of identifying your brand begins with interviewing stakeholders such as visitors, residents, businesses, and those involved in the tour industry. Spawn Ideas did send a representative down here last October. He spent 3 days, I believe, here and visited with retail businesses, called people, met with people. I believe he reached out to anyone and everyone he possibly could during his time here, and then they continued to reach out to visitors and leads that they had until they felt that they had reached a point of saturation, meaning they were starting to get all the same responses they were receiving were all the same and like-minded. At that point, the creative team got information together to develop and present options for brandings for a direction in which to take it. We were presented, I believe it was 3 different options. Of these options, it includes your brand attributes, promise statements. You get a mood board, which sets the theme, the color, the tone, the idea, as well as the tagline. We worked weekly almost with the creative team discussing amongst ourselves and the CVB board to modify and finalize a brand that we feel speaks to Wrangle. Wrangle's brand promise. We promise that we are an up-close exploration of an unspoiled, somewhat mysterious insider's Alaska. The brand statement, which is something that would be used by the city, not something you're going to see on an advertisement, so it's more back-end information, is visitors welcome, tourists not so much. There's a vibe in Wrangle unlike any other place in Alaska. It's a perfect blend of mystery with a friendly welcome. Do the residents here share a secret handshake or perhaps a subtle nod with each other? Understanding how unique Wrangle is, they must. It's what happens when a place is unspoiled, untrampled, untouristy, and immersed in rich culture dating back thousands of years. Travelers visit Wrangle for all the real reasons, to experience Alaska the way it was always meant to be, in its original state. We want to keep our special vibe going, and our visitors are a big part of it. Once you come here, you'll understand. It's a Wrangle thing.
That's brilliant.
That's good.
That's great.
Our brand attributes. Our brand is bold, elusive, informal, and non-conforming. We don't shy away from nature. We live in the wildest and most natural, unspoiled Alaska. And it's not a boast, it's just simply what is. And what is there is bold. Because what's special about Wrangle is a bit of a secret. People want to know more about it. Once they get here, they want to know even more. We get it. Folks have been coming here for at least 8,000 years for a reason. While it can look a little rough around the edges, we think it's perfect. Wrangle is a come-as-you-are. We are a tight-knit group of friendly folks. Sure, a bit of a secret, people want to. In Wrangle, we don't follow the trends or other places. We're doing our own thing here. Not just because our way works, to be different, but because our way works. We've even got our own lingo, but you'll catch on pretty quick. And onto the logo. So after much ado and lots of back and forth, this is the logo that will now represent Wrangle's travel destination. It is Wrangle out, travel outside the lines is our tagline. So this is what you'll see when we're doing marketing and advertising for Wrangle. This is what the consumer is going to see. The logo was created to boldly represent the spirit of Wrangle. It's bold, confident, and authentic, as well as a little quirky and rough around the edges. The tagline lives scrawled around the world mark as a further reminder of Wrangle's honest but non-conforming attitude. Our brand colors are colors that you will see used in our fonts, in our headers, bold colors. We'll be handing out some invitations later after our presentation concludes where you can see our brand put to use. And our brand, next slide please, textures are glacier, clouds, mist, and forest. Speaking of the atmosphere and the feeling that you get when you come to Wrangle. Rain. This is an example of the type of fonts we'll be using for a brand. And the application of this can be from social media to ad co-op buy-ins, utilizing advertising campaigns through ATIA. And if you would like more information about the places Wrangell has historically advertised, Carol would be the person to address those questions to. And this slide is just giving you a visual of the photography style that we'll be using. So it doesn't mean that we're locked into all these specific pictures, but this is what you would refer to as a mood board. So these pictures evoke the idea in the brand and the image that we'll be portraying to the public about who Wrangell is. Iconography. So our icons will be used on places such as the Wrangell Travel Planner, identifying where Petroglyph Beach is, what type of adventures you can do in the area, where you can go hiking, where you might find wildlife. And this slide is another example of how we have been implementing our brand. Although it's just recently finalized and wrapped up, we have started to implement some of the brand attributes, ideas, and moods and guidelines in our social media marketing campaigns on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the right-hand side you can see our ATIA email buy-in. And our website, is it final now? It's live. It's final and live. You can visit our website now, which is up to date at travelwrangell.com. And that website is also going to be cohesive with the all other branding, marketing, and advertising that we've done to represent Wrangell. We believe that this has been such a good use of the CARES Act funding. It's allowed us to determine who we want to target as our audience. It's allowed us to define Wrangell as a travel destination. And it's allowed us to create a cohesive back-end marketing plan that anybody that the city hires or that the CVB committee members are working on, now they have something that they can reference. They have a tool. They have tools in their toolbox. And all we have to do now is gather photos and implement. We want to thank you for your time. Brenda has some invitations she's going to be handing out now.
Absolutely.
And we will be hosting a branding launch social event this coming Monday, the 14th, at Muskeg Meadows to celebrate our new travel destination brand.
Thanks,
with the stakeholders of the tour industry and the assembly members, of course. Do we have any questions at this time?
Mr. Mayor. Folks have questions?
I do. Not a question, just a compliment. I love the in-your-face quirky. That's a really good shtick. That was a great idea.
Brooke, I want to thank you and your team so much for this work. And you're right, this is an exceptional way for us to expend some COVID funds to work on this branding. And I'm super impressed.
Me too.
With what I'm seeing, and I know it's going to translate into folks coming to visit. And it'd be nice to see the folks that want to come here for the right reasons. I think mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. the best part of this. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. Kim, can you please make sure that this gets out to all assembly members as a reminder for the June 14th meeting, if we can get it on our city calendar as well, and we'll make sure that we push this. Thank you, Brooke. Awesome.
Thank you, and thank you to Chris, Brenda, Carol, and Cindy as well.
You bet.
And Corey is not here, but she and Siona, who is not here tonight, and then Stephanie Cook. It was a fun but challenging project, and I think we're all really excited about the outcome and where this is going to take Wrangell and into the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Lisa, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next is a COVID-19 update. I really have very little to say. Three things, actually. As the Assembly is aware, we do have two active cases right now. but we're hopeful that that will continue to be nominal, not Micah. The second thing I want to mention is Jamie Roberts has been tasked with doing all of the CARES Act reporting. She has been the one working along with Dory and Captain Spray on the FEMA public assistance. She's been doing the vast majority of that work. And so the synergy there between those two grant reporting efforts is working out great. She's because we're having to go back in and redo some of the CARES Act reporting because we're now getting able to get FEMA public assistance money for some of that stuff. So I just want to let you know she's doing the vast majority of the work on that right now. And the final thing is, Mr. Mayor, may I take the COVID update off the agenda?
Yes, you may. Please do.
Of
course, you can always bring it back if we need to, but I am tired of hearing about COVID.
Right. Mr. Mayor, it's not on the agenda, but one of the things you requested at the last meeting was an update as on the slope stability investigation above our water reservoirs. And Mr. Wader, our Public Works Director, has a brief update for you.
Great. Mr. Wader, please fill us in.
Good evening, everybody. Great to be here in person. Good to see all the friendly faces, assembly members, Mr. Mayor, borough manager, and people listening in from the public. A slope analysis is primarily going to look at the terrain, and it will be a topographical analysis. The things that they would look for is drainage paths, where previous slides have happened in the past, what kind of debris would be involved, as well as what kind of energy would be behind that debris if there ever was a slide. This winter, we had an informal drone operator fly over our reservoirs. We consulted with Shannon and Wilson on how to be most effective with this. I have passed that information along to Shannon and Wilson, and which is one of the engineering firms that we have worked with on our dam inspections since the early 90s. The LIDAR information that we have recently completed here in town, we are still awaiting that information, but that is going to be very valuable for this assessment. Shannon and Wilson, when I had spoke to them here this week, they had said they still may need to fly with their own drone, but that is something that will kind of be determined based on the information that I provide for them. As a rough estimate, Shannon and Wilson thought that this would involve one extra field day because we are going to have them coming here later this year anyway. We need to inspect our dams every 3 years. The last time it was done was 2018. So we have already budgeted $65,000 for them to come here and do that again this year. And in order to tack on the additional slope stability analysis, Kyle Brennan, who I talked to with Shannon and Wilson, believed that it would take one extra field day, and then it would take several days to analyze all the data and information, generate a report, and part of that report would be engineering solutions that could address some of these issues. Once the data has been gathered and analyzed, they should be able to give us an idea of low, medium, or high-risk areas. The engineering solutions that they could provide may either divert debris or help to stop debris in the event of a slide. And in talking with Shannon and Wilson, basically we could tack on this extra assessment for under $10,000. Question?
Yeah, we focused on Shannon and Wilson here. When we had a meeting with you and I had a meeting with the engineers from the state, I can't remember who it was exactly. Remember that was a phone. Who was it?
It was Forest Service.
We talked about Forest
Service.
I talked to Ori Miller, who is one of the dam inspection people with the state. And we had also talked with Dowell. And I had talked with Amber about CRW. And I think actually when I reached out to CRW, they said, hey, you know, Shannon and Wilson are the people who've been working on your dams and reservoirs all this time. They would probably be the people with the most relevant background knowledge and information.
I thought we sent our information initially up to the state because my impression, and I'm sorry, this was a while ago and I'm trying to remember the details, but my impression was that when the state was done with Haines, they were very interested in looking at slope issues across Southeast, and that we were on there, and especially given the state of that lower reservoir, our upper reservoir, they were interested in those particular projects. So I guess what I'm wondering is, when do we switch from, and maybe we never, Lisa, maybe it was you and I had these conversations. The state was going to assign some drugs to looking at this somewhere at Switch.
Mr. Wader and I talked about that, and we're going to make sure that that isn't an option prior to us signing on with Shannon Wilson to do it. Yes.
Yeah, because these guys, as we all know, if we can get it for free from the state, and the state is wrapping up down in Haines, we want that. We want, and that also lends more further credibility for us accessing resources within the state.
I reached out also to our lobbyist today about that issue. He and I weren't able to connect fully, but
thank you.
And I spoke about that.
I just don't want it, because it's easiest sometimes just to go with spending money with the engineering firm. If we can get it for free from the state, I'd like to get on those. Sorry, Tom.
100%. And I have reached back out to Ori Miller with the state dam inspections program. I have not reached out to his supervisor, who's Charlie Cobb. I haven't heard back from Mr. Miller yet, but if I do, or when I do, I will definitely inquire about that. When I read back through my notes on this, one of their suggestions was for us to contact the Army Corps of Engineers, and I have not done that yet. I think the primary reason for that was just they may have better maps and different things like that. And talking to Shannon and Wilson, which again is just the firm that I have discussed this probably at most at length since we had spoke earlier this winter about it. A lot of this analysis is done through the drones as well as looking at the topographic maps, and LIDAR would be great. And then basically his one day in the field, they would walk the slopes, look at the different kinds of vegetation and what's growing on those slopes to help inform their analysis, I guess, based on the vegetation and, you know, how well they think those things are going to hold or not. So I will definitely follow up on some of those things. If the state doesn't happen to have those resources for us, which I'll follow up on, talking with Shannon and Wilson, it sounds like this can be done for under $10,000. It would add an extra day here in town to do this inspection, and then it would take several days to analyze all the data and generate us a report. Just a little bit of information that's relevant. Our dam stabilization and improvements have been submitted as capital improvement projects with the state for the last several years. We have begun discussing bathymetry studies for the reservoirs as staff, which could be useful for any major work done at the reservoirs. Last week, when the U.S. senators had their staff here in town, we had about 15 minutes with them to discuss our dams and reservoirs. We explained our concerns, the current status of the situation up there, what our possible needs for this infrastructure might be, and at least one of the staff from Senator Murkowski's group of folks was very interested in this. I have followed up with him. I have not heard back from him either. Aaron Thiel, I believe, was his name. And then just to wrap up here, our plan of action here is to continue moving forward with projects like the reservoir bypass and the design phases of that. A big thing will be to consider better monitoring capabilities up there on these slopes and reservoirs and in these locations, as well as to update our emergency action plan. I have received Ketchikan's emergency action plan and what they had updated after their little scare this winter with their dams there, and so we'll be using that as a resource to update ours. And then sharing this LIDAR information and following up with the state, finding out what else we can there, and if not, getting somebody on board to get this inspection done, especially before we go into the fall or winter and bad weather. But the whole area is about 0.6 to 0.8 miles long, depending on where you kind of draw the line. You're talking 700 feet of elevation and, you know, roughly 3.3 million square feet that we need assessed for this slope stability analysis. Does anybody else have any other questions on that?
I think that's got her, Tom. Thank you very much for that update. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Yep. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. You have a memo in your packet from Amber regarding the water treatment plant improvements. we are at a point where we need direction from the assembly, and you may very well want a work session on this. We need to make a decision as to whether or not we, the funding agencies are requesting that we have an updated cost estimate done for the DAF plant. We asked, we got this information from the folks about membrane. We've asked mm-hmm. that membrane be added to that, to look at that as an alternative. When Amber met with the funding agencies, they said, if you're going to do membrane in addition to DAF, you have to reinvestigate all of the options you looked at in the original preliminary engineering report.
Okay, so did you just say that if you're going to do a combination DAF and membrane, so if you're going to do membrane, so the what was the... I guess my question is, would we be securing outside funding given the small...
I apologize. Let me back up. Given the cost estimate of the engineering that we got, the proposal for the engineering that we got, and given concerns over cost escalation for the project itself, for the DAF, the funding agencies asked us to go back to CRW and have them give us a revised cost estimate on the DAF. This was about the same time we were getting the results from Mike at NTL, and he was saying you probably should explore the membrane technology, nano and ultrafiltration together. That's when we got a hold of Greg Jones at GB Jones and asked him to look at, give us a ballpark estimate of what the cost would be for membrane. He has gotten that information to us. That's in that information's in the report. And so what I asked is, I said, if we're going to have to do a cost estimate, new cost estimate on the DAF, let's add the membrane technology as a different alternative, because it was in the original preliminary engineering report as well, and do those two. That way we've got the comparisons now of the DAF versus the membrane technology. When Amber met with the funding agencies, which she does every week, they said, if you're going to do anything but the DAF and move forward with that, then you have to review all of the original technologies that were in the preliminary engineering report, not just the DAF and membrane technology.
How many were there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, 6 maybe.
But membrane was one of them.
Membrane was one of them.
Membrane was
one of them. Membrane was one of them. And she outlines that in the report here.
Okay, so the question I have, okay. And that those engineering fees, if I remember correctly, they are not, we cannot put those through on our...
This reassessment with CRW will be 100% our cost.
And what's the estimation of the re-engineering assessment?
For the DAF only, I believe it was about $22,000.
Just for the DAF?
That was just for the DAF. And in Amber's report, she indicates that at this point, in order for us to get this done, whether it's just the two or whether it's the... If we only did the DAF, it would probably be quicker. But if we do the two or we end up doing the whole enchilada, we're at about a six-month wait. I'm sorry, there were 5 alternatives, including do nothing. Amber just texted in.
But membrane was part of the
alternative. Membrane was one of them.
Okay, I'm just going to, and do you want to go first or?
I'm just wondering why, if membrane was part of them, they would be asking us to redo any of the assessment work that was done or the...
They're asking for a new cost estimate. So DAF was the preferred alternative, membrane and 4 others, including do nothing, were mm-hmm. the other alternatives. Mm-hmm. What they have told Amber is if we do... Because DAF was the alternative, they're willing to let us just redo that one for the cost estimate. If we want to add the membrane to it as an additional, they're going to make us revisit all of the 5 that were in the original preliminary engineering.
So if we went only with DAF, only with the membrane?
No, okay. Because it wasn't,
it would stand alone.
Because it wasn't
okay.
The
preferred. Sorry, but the question I have is, again, my understanding is that in the original inquiry into membranes, we were told that it was prohibitive or not functional.
No, Emma addresses that in her report. The operating cost was significantly higher than the DAF.
And now we're told that actually, no, it is not higher than DAF.
There are some higher costs, and so that's why we want to revisit this.
But were we not told that for $500,000 or something ridiculously low, we can put in a membrane?
No. That's not what we thought. We might be able to do it for about half of what the DAF was going to. That was the information that we
were given. The 4 year ago DAF, so $4.5 million from 4 years ago DAF.
Yes, roughly. Yes. The numbers that were thrown out were somewhere around the $3.5 million cost, which is why we asked G.B. Jones to do an analysis for us. One of the things we originally thought was that we might be able to get away with using one of our existing buildings and not having to build a new building, which is part of what increases the cost of the DAF project so much.
So the question I have is this. We know, we have estimates on other buildings and other projects that we have been given 25 or 35% increase in the, you know, so that $9 million project, conservatively, is probably well over $11 to $12 million.
If we were to break ground right this instant, yes, which I am certainly not advocating we would do.
No, I understand. I guess my question is that, is it worthy of a discussion that we take a look at a different funding source? Because this engineering kills us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to speak to Assemblymember Paul about it. He brings it up all the time, and it's true. And so if we have a project that we can pay and get the engineering done or get a preliminary done, and instead of revisiting this other technology and paying all this money, $22,000, to get a engineering report on what it's going to cost us now, we just get the membrane technology, which is what our experts recommending. And you're saying the first estimate was half of what the old DAT estimate was. I feel like we're throwing good money after bad to pursue this other idea.
That was what we were originally told. That's not where it ended. That's not where it ended up. There's benefit for us looking at it, but it's not as if we're not going to save 50% on the membrane deal. And there are some enhanced operating costs above what the DAF is. So
something's changed since you and I talked last time. But.
Right. Again, the original conversation we had with Mike from NTL before we went with G.B. Jones is that we could potentially save millions of dollars on this project. We went out, G.B. Jones took a look at it, and the costs are lower in some areas but higher in others, and we're not going to be able to save, we're still going to have to build a new building. There is enough variation in the cost that there is a benefit to us doing the analysis, but in the end, we have to look at both the operating and the capital costs to make sure that if the capital costs on the DAF are a little bit higher, but the operating cost over the life of it is significantly less, then there's value to us in still looking at that as a viable project. And that's what we have to make sure we're reviewing.
We definitely need a workshop on this.
I think so. We can't hash this out today.
You're right. So that we can see. And I do understand that the membrane technology has really expanded over the last 5 years. And
let's schedule a workshop on it and get together. And if you can draw together as much information as available that we don't need an engineer for to start with. One of the ones is the funding source on that. I'm interested in our funding source and making sure that, is there a general revenue bond option on the, you know, like if it's a lesser amount, and at what point would just a general fund bond be a possibility? So to have some different ideas to float around and play with this to see where we're at, I think would be beneficial.
You got it.
Thank you.
That's all I've got, Mr. Mayor.
Any questions for the city manager?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
Lisa, I sent you some pictures that you were going to get an update on.
Yes. Thank you, Assemblymember Powell. Assemblymember Powell sent me some pictures of the siding at the pool, junior high, high school building, and it is in very bad shape. Whatever is growing on it has been there and has been growing for years.
Too bad we can't sell it.
Actually, the Capital Facilities Director and I had a conversation about this last week. We have a project in the capital budget for slated for next year to actually do a siding replacement project there. Not only redo the siding, but also redo the brickwork on the columns, take the brick off and replace it with cedar siding as well. One of the things that she and I talked about today, following you sending me those pictures, is there something in the interim we can do? I mean, obviously, it needs to be pressure washed. The concern is, once we hit that siding with pressure, the siding's going to come off. I'm not making excuses by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying it's okay that that's the condition it's in. I'm just saying that's where it is now. And do we live with the yuck factor and say that this is going to be a priority, that's going to be done immediately in this fiscal year if we get funding for it and get that project done? Or is it, do we put a coat of paint over it and make it look a little pretty for now until we think that project is going to get done?
Well, that's what I was looking at. I mean, I understand. I looked at it pretty extensively on Sunday. And, I mean, a lot of that building is, I would say about 20% of it's going to have a problem. And the rest is not. And, I mean, to me, painting it, pressure washing it, and you don't have to sit there with a wand and pressure wash until the stuff comes off either. I mean, you don't have to blow the wood away. I mean, I just feel that, I mean, everybody takes care of their houses by pressure washing and painting them. I think we need to start doing that too.
I agree.
And I think we need to start doing it like right away. I mean, we need to do it. So in that aspect, that's going to be my next question is, we lost our maintenance guy in February. And now it is June, and we're coming up on July. My other question is, why have we not hired a new guy?
We had to wait, by a union contract, we had to wait 45 days for that individual to make sure they didn't want to return to their old job. And then I asked Amber to wait just to float us to the end of the fiscal year. So that was my request, actually. So my intent was to get that position hired right after the fiscal year.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes,
all I know is if that siding is cedar, we just had to buy 5 boards to re-side the front of our house, and we had the new windows put in. It was $100 a board. So, I mean, it is going to be expensive, but I agree with you, Dave. It's an eyesore.
It is.
Any other questions for the city manager?
No.